nobody open. Running out of time. Finally throws. And it is gone. Touchdown, Dyrell Roberts.
Medford has time. Throws.
Yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Man, I feel like money. Man, I feel like money.
Yeah. Let's do this.
This is Moneyline, and yes, that was Let's Do This from Leroy Jenkins. I think I need to take that sound bit back out. I now remember why I didn't have it in the first place, because I got the terrible version of it.
It's all right. It's still a classic.
It is a classic. Very much a classic. Everybody needs to watch Leroy Jenkins if you've never seen it before. It's only like 20 years old at this point, but it's still a classic. For those of you just now tuning in, this is Full Press Coverage Moneyline, so welcome to the college football gambling show that doesn't win you any money.
Well, it could. You just have to pick between the two of us.
Yeah. Decipher which of our crap you want to believe and which of our crap you don't want to believe.
I think I actually made money this past week.
You did make some money this past week. I'm proud of you, man. I'm very proud of you.
You know, every blind squirrel finds a nut or something like that. So took me a few weeks of losing.
What?
But
every blind squirrel finds a nut? Is that
every once in a while. Yeah, that's a saying. That's like a proverb or something.
You know, I squirrels have proverbs noses. Many times. I don't remember anything about a squirrel.
No, not from the Bible. Like it's like a saying.
Sure. Okay. On that note, what did we do last week, Ben? How did we do?
I grew up in Alabama. Let me reiterate.
Here we go.
How'd we do last week? Head to head, I won again. So I think that's like 5-0 this season. I'll hold on to that.
5-0 this season. You've lost a few times, Mr. Ben.
What? No. Head to head.
Yes. No, you've lost head-to-head this year.
Listeners, if there's a head-to-head, just pick me. That's what you got to do. So, with Tinny and
I personally blame the mustard bottles and the golf balls. I mean, just saying it now, that's what I'm putting the blame on.
Honestly, it was close. If there wasn't that 20-minute break where the fans littered the field and made a disgrace of Neyland Stadium, then there was a shot.
Okay, but hold on. Let's bring it back to this, though. Ole Miss basketball did the same thing like 2 years ago. Like, I loved watching everybody on Twitter react as if like this is some novelty. I'm like, no. This is just the SEC, and that's not a bad or a good thing. It's a whatever you want to make it to be thing. The SEC is crazy town, and sometimes it's in the best of ways. You get trees being TP'd at Auburn, which is amazing. Well, sometimes it's in the worst. Well, I know. Sometimes it's in the worst ways where you've got it, literally a school having to escort their cheerleaders and band members out of the stadium. But I did think it was funny everybody trying to pinpoint this as like it being some novelty specific to Tennessee. I'm like, no, the other 13 SEC schools are just as guilty of this crap as Tennessee is. It's just an extremely passionate area of college football.
Yeah, it's true.
So, my favorite, though, were the people trying to say that the refs are what was to blame and that the SEC should find the refs for the mess that Tennessee created. I'm like, no.
What?
Yeah.
They had the right call. That was the right call.
But, I mean, that's the funny part about it is, like, you know, you're responsible for the how the heck do you get a golf ball into a stadium? I mean, well, like, when you're going through security, you have to empty your pockets. I mean, even at Liberty games, you got to empty your pockets. I know people think Liberty's crazy town. You got to empty your pockets when you go through security. You would have to bring a golf ball out of your pocket, put it into the thing, and then the security person would be like, why do you have a golf ball?
Not necessarily. You just put it in your purse or like a little bag.
Oh, they open up your purse and they do the little stick thing.
You have to have clear bags in the SEC now. So you don't even have to open it up. You just kind of like show them it's a clear bag. So SEC shorts, I know I sent you one of those earlier this week. Yeah. They did two this week. Amazing. The other one was about Tennessee security. Go watch it. Hilarious.
We will need to post it on the Twitter account. Back to the games. So yep. Ben's picks. So let's start off with Ben. Ben, let's start off with the bad first. Ben had Texas A&M minus 11 at Missouri. That did not work out. Texas A&M, Ben, I feel like is one of those teams that is going to be very, very tough to predict because they are capable any week of beating anybody in the country. They're also capable, I think, of getting knocked out by Vanderbilt. Like, I think they're that.
They did lose Mississippi State.
Yeah.
But when they went up 21-0 against Missouri, I was like, dang it. I thought there'd be a little bit of a hangover.
Yeah, yeah, no. They came right out and just hammered Missouri. So final score there was 35-14, Texas A&M wins. So Ben had Missouri, $30 on them. They did not cover. Texas A&M does. Ben loses that one. Rutgers was -2.5 at Northwestern. Ben had Rutgers on this one. Did I not take Rutgers? Because I loved Rutgers going into that game.
No, you didn't have that as one of your games. I only put $10 on this one, thankfully. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible call.
No, and this is one of those things where Northwestern's defense has played awful all year long. They come into this game against Rutgers, and they look super, super stout. So Northwestern, Ben had Rutgers -2.5. Northwestern wins 21-7, so Ben lost that one. Now let's get to the good. Ben had Ole Miss -2.5 at Tennessee. Ole Miss did end up winning that one by more than 2.5, so Ben had $15 on that one. The guarantee of the week, I think, for Ben was Duke at UVA. UVA -10.5. I've been saying it all year. Duke will not win an ACC game. They won't. And Ben, did you watch last night the Appalachian State Coastal Carolina game?
I did not.
No, okay. Great game. Appalachian State's quarterback is Chase Bryce. Chase Bryce was Duke's quarterback last year, right? Duke fans absolutely hated him. Threw him under the bus like three games into the year saying, he's terrible, put in Gunnar Holmberg, yada, yada, yada. Chase Bryce last night picked apart Coastal Carolina's defense, which has been one of the best defenses in the country. He picked them apart. Duke's coaching is completely and utterly broken. This is as bad as the Ted Roof era. It truly is. So I do not believe Duke will win an ACC football game. UVA hammered them. What was it, 45 or 48-0?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was bad.
Then had $25 on that one and won.
Yeah, 48-0. I will say that Duke is off this week, and I'm not picking him because of that. But they play Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, and Virginia Tech the next 3 weeks. And there's a good chance I will pick that game each of those weeks.
It's a good chance I will, too. I mean, it's tough to pick against them.
It's easy money.
It is easy money. I would be careful with the Pitt game. Pitt is one of those teams where they're capable of scoring enough to cover just about any spread in a game like that. But some weeks they just come out cold and it doesn't make any sense. They're a little crazy sometimes. Ben's last pick was Auburn at Arkansas. Razorbacks were favored by 5. Ben picked Auburn at $20 on them. Auburn went to Arkansas, pulled off the big win. I'm sure you got to feel pretty good about that, Ben.
Feel great about it. I was not expecting that large of a gap, nor a win on Auburn's side. I only picked them to cover the spread, not to win outright. So, you know, happy for my Tigers. They look pretty good, and Arkansas's a very good team. So, pleasantly surprised there.
You know, I think and you're trying to judge a new coach like Auburn has, I think you have to look at momentum and is the team getting better. And the mm-hmm. more I watch the team, the more I feel like you can see bits and pieces starting to come together. They're starting to form an identity. It's a different identity than Gus Malzahn. It seems to be a little bit more between the tackles versus it, let's throw, you know, bubble screens 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage on a third and one.
Thankfully not.
Yeah, and I think there's some rhythm to it. Now, what can they do when you've got a Texas A&M recruiting the way they are? You've got an Alabama that's reloading every single year. I mean, I don't know what the potential is there, but I like the direction they're moving in right now. Let's go over to my games and talk about a team that's not moving in the right direction, Florida. Mm-hmm. They were an 11.5 point favorite. Granted, it was at LSU, and Florida got hammered by LSU. So LSU ends up winning that game. I had $20 riding on Florida. Did not work out for me. Tennessee was home against Ole Miss. Ole Miss was a 2.5 point favorite at Tennessee. I didn't have a ton of confidence in this one, but I felt like Tennessee was capable of riding that to the end. They did. I would still think, even knowing what I know, that game happens again tomorrow with the same line, I'm still going to take Tennessee. Because I think they were close enough to where that game could have gone either way. So I had $20 on a Tennessee loss. UNC hosted Miami. I got to be honest, Ben. Miami, I didn't watch that game and come away thinking Miami's better than I thought. I watched that game and came away thinking, okay, UNC just actually is bad. Like, I thought maybe there's been a couple things and, you know, they just got off to a little bit of a rocky start and their expectations were way higher than they should have been. But then I watched that game and they're struggling. I mean, Miami scored 42 on them. Miami's not a good offense by any means. I don't think UNC is a very good team at all. Like, forget the top 10 stuff people were giving them at the start of the year. It's just a bad football team.
Yep. Yeah, they, you know, I really like Mack Brown, but my gosh, the difference year over year. Last year, they were okay. They were middle of the pack. This year, they're a bad team.
They are.
And yeah. And I don't know why, because they're basically the same team.
It's really weird. my guarantee of the week was Alabama going into Mississippi State and covering 17. I thought that was one of the most asinine lines I've ever seen in my life, and the public was all over Mississippi State. Listen, guys, if Nick Saban is ever being devalued, just put everything you have on Nick Saban. This was the only game I won last week. It felt so easy looking at that game. I put $30 on Alabama. I won it. It kind of saved my week from being really crappy to being okay. But I put $30 on Alabama. The game had the
especially
least
coming off a loss. Like,
yeah. I mean, Alabama coming off a loss is money. They don't lose.
Mm-hmm.
My last game, and I had the least confidence out of any game on this one, but I had Kansas State at home against Iowa State. Iowa State was a 6.5-point favorite. I actually thought Kansas State would go and win this one because Iowa State's been terrible all year. The Iowa State we saw in this game was more the Iowa State team that I expected at the start of the year. Remember, at the start of the year, I said Iowa State was like the fourth-best team in the country. I thought they'd be competing for a playoff spot. They've been terrible. They went into mm-hmm. Kansas State, got a convincing win. They should have been doing that 5-6 weeks ago. If they had been doing that 5-6 weeks ago, we wouldn't have any of this Cincinnati nonsense, and I would be happy. But here we are, so I lost $5 there. So all in all, I lost 40 with the net. Ben Gaiden gained 20 net. So well done.
Yeah, man. So I'm at negative 80 on the year, baby.
There you go.
Making my way back.
All right, let's get to our new top 10. Ben, kind of like last week, once we get to six, I think it's ridiculous. Honestly,
it's all Big Ten for me, Ben.
well, I'll tell you this. I think what we need to redo with these polls is this year there should be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and everybody else should be unranked. Like, literally, every other team is crap.
I wouldn't say crap, but... I mean, there's some potential. There's some potential for the Big Ten to get shaken up, but I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, let's go here through our new top 10. So, Ben, number one for you.
University of Georgia, keeping on getting it done. Number one defense in the country.
Love it.
Just crushing teams every week.
Yeah, I've got Georgia number one as well. I thought Kentucky in that first half gave them a really good game. Like, I didn't watch that game, Ben, and think Kentucky was overwhelmed. I thought Kentucky just played them to the best of their ability. And the fact that Georgia went and still won as convincingly as they did, that tells me this Georgia team can do that against anybody. So, yeah, that's number one team in the country. Who's number two?
Alabama. So, with Iowa dropping, I dropped them out of my top 10. That was Purdue. Seriously? How embarrassing. Alabama's number two team in the nation. I don't care what anyone else says. Like, Nick Saban and his squad are, you know, going to go to the SEC championship game and face Georgia, and that'll kind of decide what happens in the playoff. So, got to have Alabama at number two.
And I also have Alabama at number two. I mean, I think you've got to not overreact to a team losing. You know, losing one game is one, losing a couple games is one thing. When you lose one game on the road at a team desperate for a win, and it's like their Super Bowl, and you come out just a little bit flat, and the game is still relatively really close at the end, I'm not going to count that as a, especially with as talented as Texas A&M is, I'm not going to count that as a bad loss by any means. When I look at grading these teams, I look at how much of your will can you impose on everybody else. Alabama could match up with any of these other teams on the top 10 and beat them by 30. Like, everybody wants Cincinnati in the playoff. Great. Put Cincinnati in at 3, let them play Alabama at number 2, and let's watch Alabama crush them and destroy their hopes and dreams. It won't be close. And Cincinnati may very well be the 4th best team in the country. But that's where Alabama is, on a different level. Crimson Tide number 2.
Yeah, number 3 for me, I've got Cincy. Just because they keep winning, and I want to keep them up there. So the thing is that Cincy needs some help to actually make it to the playoff. I think they may get that, but with some of the other teams I have behind them, there's a chance they still go undefeated and get left out.
Oh, I think there's a very real chance of that. Number 3 for me, I have Ohio State. Again, how much of your will can you impose on your opponent? Ohio State, I legitimately think, could crush just about anybody else on this top 10 list other than Georgia and Alabama. And if you watch the way they've played these past couple of weeks, the offense is on fire. The defense, it is night and day, the difference between this defense in weeks 1 through 3 and this defense ever since. Ohio State's amazing. All right, number 4, Ben.
Yep, completely agree, though I do have one in front of Ohio State here. I've got Oklahoma at number 4. Reason for it is under Williams at quarterback, they look like the Oklahoma team we all expected.
Yeah.
They, like, night and day. Same thing with Ohio State going through the Oregon game to now with C.J. Stroud and company. Like, the same thing within Oklahoma changing to Williams as quarterback. And that's weird because you shouldn't have a dynamic player change the whole game that way. But he really has Oklahoma. That offense looks impressive, and I've got to have them up in the top 5 area. I've got them at number 4.
Sometimes I think you need a player that's going to rejuvenate a locker room, and I think that's what he's done. Like, if you not only is the offense moving, but if you look at the energy of that Oklahoma team, that's night and day from what we saw earlier in the year. So, yeah, they're my number 4 as well. I think this is legit. I think they're barely on the edge of being able to compete for actually beating Georgia or Alabama. I think they're capable of doing it. I'm not saying I would predict it. But yeah, Caleb Williams and the way that offense moves the ball, they could get into a shootout with either one of those teams and at least give themselves a chance. Now, where I worry with Oklahoma is it's the same worry you have every year with Oklahoma. Can the defense hold their own? We know Georgia's defense is incredible. We know Alabama's defense is incredible. We know Ohio State's defense is very, very good. Maybe not elite, but very, very good. Oklahoma's defense might be 40th, 50th best in the country. It's not a great defense. And that was the one thing coming into the year that I thought would be different about this team. So they got the offense moving. That's great. But the defense still having their struggle. They'll have 33 to TCU.
Yep. They got to get that fixed. But I think they're going to figure it out here. Closing out the stretch. So number five, I've got Ohio State. Look, Ohio State looks incredibly impressive right now. I think they're a completely different team than they were early on this season. And for that, they've got to be in the top five. I think they went out, no doubt, that Cincy gets left out. So there's definitely going to be some mix-ups, though, within the Big Ten here coming up. Lots of really good games in the next few weeks. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, my number five is Cincinnati. I do think their win at Notre Dame was great. I don't care that they're undefeated. It means absolutely nothing to me. Let me put it to you this way. What if one of these teams went and scheduled, let's just say, we'll come up with a team here, Florida A&M 12 times, and they went 12-0. If Alabama played Florida A&M 12 times and went 12-0, you're like, okay, they should beat them 100-0 every single time, right? Like, some of the teams that Cincinnati is playing, they should win all of these games. They've not done one thing that I'm like, oh, they probably shouldn't have done that, other than Notre Dame, and I thought that was great. But the thing that I would argue is Oklahoma's done more. Ohio State's done more. Alabama's done more. Georgia has done more. So even if we're basing this on resume, what have you done? Those four programs have done more. Cincinnati is very much in this playoff discussion, though, because Desmond Ritter's amazing. And what actually I think is even better, though, is Cincinnati's defense. And I think the more that defense continues to improve, the better that team is. It's a great football team. I mean, I've got them fifth, but I don't think they're as good as the other four teams I've got above them.
Yeah. If I was being realistic, I'd probably have my rankings more like yours. But I just really want this Cincy team, and I'm impressed with them so far. So
I don't keep like them it, up Ben. There. I don't like it. It's dishonest. I know. Number six.
I know. Well, you know what? It's what I'm keeping it at. Number six, Michigan. Michigan is for real, and they're going to beat up on Northwestern this week, and then they play Michigan State next week, so get ready for that one.
What is it about Michigan that makes you think they are for real? I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm legitimately asking, when you watch this team play, what is it that makes you go, oh, that team is, like, this is the year?
It's the tenacity on both sides of the ball and the fact that the talent finally matches what Harbaugh's been trying to do in this program. So I think the team itself, the structure, is the most talented team Harbaugh's had, and he's finally got the boys playing like they should be. And because of that, they're definitely a force to be reckoned with within the Big Ten. Yeah, they played a close game against Nebraska. Like I said, Nebraska's not a bad team there. They had a bye week last week. They come in and they'll probably beat the pants off Northwestern. The Michigan Wolverines, man, this is the best team that Harbaugh has. And if he wants to make a statement, this is the team to do it with.
The one thing that I would say about Michigan, the big pushback I would have, is like Cincinnati, they've not done anything they shouldn't have done. I mean, they're 6-0 against Western Michigan, Washington, Northern Illinois, Rutgers, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska. So, okay, at the start of the year, yeah, I kind of thought they would probably lose the Wisconsin game, but mostly because I thought Wisconsin was going to be really good. Well, we've watched Wisconsin play. I don't know if they just don't understand the concept of offenses to try and score or what they try to do on offense, but it needs to stop. I mean, y'all just need to stop up there in Wisconsin. But regardless, Michigan hasn't done anything that they shouldn't have done. So if that's the case, why are we hyping them up versus where we had them at the start of the year? They'll make my top 10. Because I do think this offense has a little something, but I'm a little in. This team's going to play Michigan State, not this weekend, but next weekend. If they go into Michigan State and win, I'm all in. But until then, I've got my reservations about it. My number six, this, I love having them in my top 10 every week, because every time I say it, it brings pain to Ben.
Notre Dame sucks so much.
Notre Dame does not suck. Here's the reason why I keep them on my top 10. Okay. My top 10 is based on how I would bet, how I view them. It's a power ranking, right? The reason why I have Notre Dame up here is really because, I mean, there's, you know, I like the defense, but honestly, I think as long as Brian Kelly is your coach, and when you look at the rest of the teams in this top 10, when you have a coach like Brian Kelly, outside of the top four teams in the country, there's not a team that I think Notre Dame couldn't beat. And so that's really what I come back to. The offense is young. It's improving within every week. It continues to get better. And at the end of the year, Ben, we're going to look back on Notre Dame, and they are going to be a 10-win team. You cannot deny that that is something, and I think that's all because of Brian Kelly. Are they as good as a Cincinnati? No. I mean, Cincinnati went into Notre Dame, and Notre Dame could not move the ball. Are they as good as any of their other teams in the top four? No. But I think to say that anybody else in the top 10 is definitively better than Notre Dame is wrong. And I don't love any of the teams after number five. So I put the reason I've got Notre Dame at six is this is the best coach team remaining to me. So I would take them before I'd take any of these other teams when betting on a game.
Mm. Valid points. Brian Kelly is one of the best coaches they've had, and they've had some good ones. Consistency, I think, is one of the most impressive things from him. And that's something that's not talked about as much. And it's because when they play big teams, they get crushed. And they're consistently good every single year, consistently like a 10-win team. But the thing is when they play these big teams, they get crushed.
Well, okay, my one pushback on that is when they played Georgia in the past, it's been close. The teams they get crushed by are Alabama and Clemson. And save Clemson for this year, but Alabama and Clemson the past several years have crushed everybody they've played. I mean, we all watched Alabama play Ohio State last year in the national championship. Did you think Ohio State looked any better against Alabama than Notre Dame did? No. So, like, okay, yes, Notre Dame gets crushed by those teams, but so does everybody else. We're just more critical because it's Notre Dame and it's their brand. The other thing, too, though, is I do think there's something to it, and that I think Notre Dame's severely limited because of all of their academic and religious restrictions that they have. I do think it makes it difficult for them to be able to recruit the same amount of caliber of players that a team like Alabama or Georgia can. But there's no doubt in my mind watching this team so far, this is a top 10 team in the country. So I put them at number six.
I mean, as long as you do your Hail Marys, you can go to school at Notre Dame. So I don't know if it's that strict.
Who's your number seven, Ben?
Number seven, Penn State Nittany Lions. Look, okay. Sean Clifford, they had the bye week at the perfect time because they very well could have had some issues when Sean Clifford was out.
Back?
He's been practicing. He's been practicing this week. There's no call. But look, they play Illinois. Illinois is not a good team. Brett Bielema is not a good coach. So I think Penn State will definitely beat them. They only need one half of Sean Clifford for them to be able to beat this team. And then they've got Ohio State the week following. So, man, Halloween weekend is going to be huge. Like, that is a awesome, awesome week of college football. We may need to expand from 5 picks to 10 picks that week. It's going to be crazy. But look, I think Penn State is a complete team when Sean Clifford is under center, and I think he'll be back. So I got to keep Penn State in my top 10.
I will be willing to put them back in my top 10 because I do think Penn State is great. I will put them back there as soon as he is back and playing at 100%. But I want to see it first. They aren't in my top 10 today. I don't mind that they're in Ben's because I just think it's a crapshoot after number five. But that's my one reservation. I know enough about everything else, but I want to see him back at 100%. I think there's a real chance he may not be back at 100%. He may play. He may not be back at 100% before the end of the year, in which case I can't put him back as a top 10 team. I think he's just that crucial to them. My number 17, Ben, is Ole Miss. It's not pretty sometimes. It gets a little bit ugly, but it works. They, I think, offensively are dominant at times. And I've watched them offensively against Arkansas, against Tennessee. They just score when they need to score. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. I think there's something to be said for having an ability to do that. Again, I think they've got some defensive issues. But Matt Corral, to me, he has to be the Heisman favorite at this point. Like, I don't think there's, in my opinion, especially after Malik Willis losing to freaking UL Monroe this past week, I don't think there's even a close second to this point. I think Matt Corral has to be your number one. So as long as you've got that at quarterback, you're going to be a good team. Rebels at seven.
I don't know. Look out, because LSU, look, they beat Florida and fired their head coach in the same week, which is wild.
They did.
But Coach O is going to be there for the remainder of the season. Look for LSU to be a different team, similar to the way that they were.
And has to appear at any event over the next 3 years that they request him at.
Well, I mean, they're paying him a ton of money, so I would love to be paid $21 million to appear at events.
But, okay, what if, though, what if he takes a different job? He still has to come back to LSU and attend events?
Whatever, get on a plane, dude. $21 million.
Well, no, but I'm saying, isn't that awkward? Like, let's say not that this happens, but let's say LSU hires Jimbo and then Texas A&M hires Ed O. Again, not that it would happen, but you want Ed O, the coach at Texas A&M, at your LSU events?
Maybe they won't ask him. But
just saying, like, isn't it weird? Like,
well, I don't know. Joe Burrow will come back probably sometime. They'll probably bring Coach O back at some time. I don't know.
So who's your number eight?
Number eight. Mel Tucker, Coach of the Year, Michigan State Spartans.
Okay.
Look, Michigan State has a bye week, and they're getting ready for the showdown against Michigan the weekend of Halloween. So,
it's
going to
be a great game.
It's going to be a great game. Michigan State has blown everyone's expectations out of the water. I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the Big Ten like they were last year. Mel Tucker has turned this thing around. They've beaten teams they shouldn't have, and they are still undefeated, so I've got to give them respect. I think the next few weeks will be a shakeup in the Big Ten with some of these games coming up, and I'm excited for it. So got them at my number eight spot.
My number eight is Iowa. I'm keeping them in my top 10 because they've got so many impressive wins throughout the year. And the Purdue game, it actually doesn't surprise me a lot. I didn't expect it. I mean, it wasn't in my predictions. But we've seen Iowa before look dominant. Then they have 1 week and they just, you can't explain it. It's like just there's a different face under the mask. And they woke up on the right side or whatever it is. Maybe they were hungover. I don't know. Something's going on there.
Their offensive line do like to chug beers on the sidelines, so who knows?
Apparently so. Maybe they should stop that. But, I mean, I still think, though, this is a dominant defense. It's one of the best defenses in the country. It's up there with Georgia and Alabama. They've got a great run game. I do question some of the stuff in the passing game. I question some of the offensive decisions. But people taking them out of their top 10, I think they're overreacting a little bit. It's a bad loss, but you can't just forget about what this team did early in the year, and they don't have any major injuries. So I've still got them at number eight. Number nine, Ben.
So my number nine and 10 are strictly because of the record of these teams and not necessarily I think that they're ceiling. And that's fine. Call me Fox Sports. I don't care. But
we're
going to
discuss that in a minute, by the way. It's coming up, the worst top 10 ever.
Number nine for me, Oklahoma State. Look, Mike Gundy is a man, and so is his group of men that are still undefeated.
I'm a man.
Surprising for me. Are you 40?
I'm 40.
Not yet. So, yeah, look, Oklahoma State, surprisingly undefeated up to this point. Good for them. They have a tough matchup this week against Iowa State, so we'll see what happens there. But reluctantly putting them in my top 10 because of the record thus far.
Yeah. My number 9 is Michigan. Again, it feels dirty putting them in there because they've not done anything to impress me. But I think there's something to the offense. I've always been a fan of Jim Harbaugh. I think the criticism to him is nutty sometimes. But, you know, maybe they are for real. Maybe what we're seeing is a turn of the tide. And the thing that I always come back to is, you know, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame had that year where they went 4-8. He was on the hot seat. And what changed for him was not that they started recruiting better. Wasn't that they just went and completely changed the staff or any of that. That's not what took this team from where they were to where they are now. What changed was his temperament and his approach to the game. It went from being, how can I make these games about me? And went from being, how can I make this about the program and about the players? And ever since Brian Kelly went to that approach, Notre Dame's been unstoppable. If we're starting to see kind of a turn of the tide, because I feel like a lot of times in these Michigan games, Jim Harbaugh just completely outthinks the room because he wants on Monday morning the talk to be, look how great Harbaugh is. And he outthinks the room. I think Gus Malzahn does the same thing, by the way. I think that's one of his big issues is Gus Malzahn wants the credit for every single win, so he feels like he has to call this crazy creative play for it to work, and instead just let your players do the work. I think we're maybe starting to see some of that from Michigan. We'll see. But, you know, this team's undefeated. They've been winning some Big Ten games. It's not everything, which is why I don't have them higher, but it is something Michigan at 9.
Yep. Yeah, a little asterisk there. Notre Dame has been unstoppable against mediocre teams. So,
they beat Florida State.
Florida State's a bad team. They're not even mediocre. They are a bad team. They should not have won a game this year. Syracuse is terrible for letting that happen. So, hey, my top 10, the number 10 team, is actually a team from the ACC where that terrible Florida State lives. I threw Wake Forest in here. Why not? So look,
because it's Army Wake this freaking Forest.
They're the last hope for the ACC. It was either Wake Forest or Oregon, and I don't feel good about either of them. So throwing Wake Forest in here for the – look, Oregon's just bad at time management, but there's a good chance they lose this week against UCLA. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there too.
Just saying Wake Forest will lose by 20 to Notre Dame, but keep going.
That's fine. Wake Forest – undefeated thus far. Got in my top 10 because of that. Okay. Fox Sports.
So there's like not even context to this yet. Ben's just throwing Fox Sports in. Like he just signed off from Fox Sports. Like what is this?
They want to pick me up, man. They want to sponsor.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure they want to sponsor a podcast that's not on their network. Or on any network for that matter. We're like Fox Sports, like, yeah, coverage. Can we sponsor you? Yeah. Well, we are in full press coverage. That's true. I'm sorry, that's Ian. I hope you didn't hear that. Yeah, it's something. It's cool. Yeah.
Soon we'll be kicked off of there, so thanks.
Well, you're the one leading me down this path, Ben.
Maybe full press coverage will get taken over by Fox. There we go.
Okay, in 5 minutes, we've gone from being sponsored by full press coverage to getting kicked off of sponsored by Fox to getting kicked off of full press coverage to now full press coverage is being merged with Fox. I don't know what has happened.
It would podcast. Be an acquisition, not a merge.
What? Oh, God. Oklahoma State, number 10. I'm 40. I'm a man. No, listen. Oklahoma State, number 10, because if you go into Texas, here's what impressed me. They not only did they go into Texas and win, but they went, they took the game away in the fourth quarter. When you have an upset on the road that's brewing, typically what happens is the team pulling off the upset runs out of gas. In this case, Oklahoma State found an extra layer. They found like another gear. The fact that they have enough talent and depth to do that tells me not only is something there, but I think actually this team has a lot of potential. Like, I put Notre Dame at 6, right? I feel like that's the highest Notre Dame's going to be. I feel like that is their limit. That's where they tap out. Same thing with Ole Miss at 7, Iowa at 8, Michigan at 9. But Oklahoma State, I actually feel like, has the potential, based on what they just did to Texas, to continue to move up. If they continue to improve, Ben, and play like they did, and Mike Gundy's offense, which, I mean, it's like, you know, this guy just, he loses his running back, Chuba Hubbard, last year, brings in new guys. The run game's awesome. The pass game is awesome. The defense is awesome. Like, nobody gives this guy enough credit for what he's built at Oklahoma State. I've got to put him at number 10. Now, though, now that we've done that, we're going to share with you one more top 10. Because as crazy and as loony as our podcast is sometimes, this is the craziest top 10 I've ever seen in my life. And it has four teams from Group of Five conferences in it. Okay, so we're just going to start off with that. And I'm going to read to you this guy's top 10. Georgia, number one. Okay, we're good. I agree. Oklahoma State at number two. Cincinnati at number three. Oklahoma at number four. Michigan State at number five. Michigan at number six. Wake Forest at number seven. Coastal Carolina at number eight. San Diego State at number nine. Southern Methodist at number 10. Oh, let's just read number 11 just for the hell of it. Texas San Antonio at number 11. The Roadrunners at number 11 in the country, according to RJ Young. Alabama was at number 12. Okay.
This he guy just looked at all the undefeated teams and, like, ranked them.
He did. Literally, I hate when people do this. In college football, you cannot have criteria. Like, one thing that you say, if you do this, you're ranked above everybody else. Because there's 130 teams. In the NFL, there's only 32 teams. The separation is not that big from 1 to 32. So going undefeated means something in the NFL. College football doesn't mean anything. If you're the number 8 team and you play number 130 every single week, of course you're going to go undefeated. That doesn't mean you're the number one team in the country. That's such a stupid way to make an argument. This guy has Texas San Antonio at number 11 and Alabama at number 12. If they play on a neutral field tomorrow, Ben, how badly does Alabama win that game?
Oh, probably 50-0.
Exactly. And the thing is this idiot, RJ Young, he knows that. Like, there is not one person in the world. Tomorrow, I would love to find this guy. RJ Young, if you happen to come across our podcast, please give me a call. Like, send me a message or something, because I'm going to take you to a bet, okay, that if Alabama plays any of these teams, Texas San Antonio, Southern Methodist, San Diego State, Coastal Carolina, Wake Forest, Michigan, Michigan State, or Oklahoma State, any of those teams, if Alabama plays any of them, you give me the point spread and Alabama will cover it. I'll make that bet with you right now. And I don't think you would take the bet, because I think you know Alabama would cover it. It is the dumbest piece of crap I've ever seen in my life that he would put them up there. And the thing that bugs me about it so much, Ben, the reason why I'm talking about it, is because I feel like it's incredibly dishonest. Like, I mean, you know, you and I are going to disagree on some of these things. That's okay. I mean, our 1 through 5 is pretty much the same teams at 1 through 5. And on 6 through 10, we disagree on some stuff. And that's okay. But you're not going to convince me that Coastal Carolina, and this came out, by the way, before yesterday or before Wednesday when Coastal Carolina lost, you're not going to convince me that Coastal Carolina on a neutral field would beat Alabama or that you would just take Oklahoma State to crush Alabama on a neutral field. Like, in Ohio State at number 21. Like, really, you've watched Ohio State the past 3 weeks, and you would conclude that if they play San Diego State tomorrow, San Diego State would beat them by 10? Like, no. It's so dumb and dishonest to do it like that. I'm glad he did it, because it's a perfect example of why going undefeated is complete and utter BS. Like, nobody cares. You went undefeated, great. I'd rather you lose two games in the SEC, get a couple of nicks, and actually play some good opponents. Like, really, I would. I have more respect for Kentucky than any of these other teams that he's got 7 through 11. I think it's completely ridiculous.
Love it. I appreciate that rant. I was looking forward to that.
So got me fired up.
Fox Sports, you've got some characters that you've hired. You could have two more.
I mean, God, RJ Young?
Add more value.
Hey, apparently Ben's going to bring the whole full press coverage team with us. An apparent acquisition. We broke it here first, though. I mean, I'll throw this out there. We're breaking news on this podcast. Full press coverage has been acquired by Fox Sports.
All my shares of stock that Ian has given us.
He gave you stock?
Oh, yeah, man.
Gosh. See, Ben's more closely connected with the suits here than I am. I just, create the podcast, prepare the podcast, get everything set up.
Do all the work.
Just show and get stock, apparently. I mean, that's what it's come to. All right. This, again, out of hand, Ben. We've got to get back in. We have to get back on schedule. I'm 40.
We're ready.
I'm 40.
Let's do this.
All right. There's the let's do this again. Love that soundbite. All right. Michigan at home. All right, I'm just going to go off. Michigan at home against Northwestern. This is my first game. I have Michigan. They're favored by 23.5. They're going to win this, baby. They're covering 23.5. I actually started looking at this game because Northwestern was a 20-plus point underdog, and that seemed really, really tasty. Then I got on my computer and actually did some research. Northwestern's three wins are against Indiana State, Ohio, and the mighty Rutgers, Scarlet Knights. Yep. Nebraska put up 56 on Northwestern. Michigan State put up 38. And Duke scored 30 and won. Michigan's offense may be to be determined, but they will not struggle with Northwestern. And we know Michigan's defense is great. So 23.5 seems like a big number, but Michigan's going to crush Northwestern 40-13. And I'm going to put $20 on Michigan winning that one.
Love it. Nice first game. Is that your pick of the week?
No, it is not. I should have done my pick of the week first.
So I'm going to start out today with my first game is my pick of the week.
You know, we've got lots of stuff now that we've been acquired.
Oh, yeah, I know. We're getting ready. We're shaking it up. I've got $35 on this game. So in my first three games, I'm putting $85 on the table.
Woo,
so I'm not confident in these first three. So we'll kind of start off with that. This game has the number one scoring offense and number one yards per play team facing a number 76 scoring defense who's 1-5 against the spread. That's right. This is the Ohio State Buckeyes as a 20-point favorite at Indiana. Indiana is a bad team. Indiana has been a bad team. They had a nice year last year, and they are bad again. Ohio State knows that they have to win impressively, and CJ Stroud and company are doing that. They are averaging 49 points a game. They are crushing it. And by the way, their defense is very good as well. So, especially over the past, three or four weeks, night and day versus the beginning of the season. Indiana is going to get hammered. I'm saying Ohio State easily covers 20. I would cover them for 40. So, look, they're going to beat the pants off this team. I think they're scoring 49 points again. I'm saying 49-7. Crush Indiana.
Wow. So, did you know Indiana's head coach, Tom Allen, has the fourth biggest buyout of any coach in the country?
That's fine, because they would never hire someone new because they're Indiana.
Well, it's very true. Also, Ben said Indiana was going to get hammered. I don't know what connection he has to determine that Indiana is going to get hammered, but I would only assume that happens if they win and it would be after the game.
The whole team.
Yeah, the
They're
whole
have
team.
To drink off their sorrows.
I guess so. All right, my next game is Army at home against Wake Forest, baby. Woo-hoo! Wake Forest is a 3-point favorite. Army is always one of my favorite bets throughout the year, though. Their offense is nearly impossible to prep for, especially if you don't have a bye week coming into the game. Wake Forest is coming off an exhausting trip to Syracuse, a game that went to overtime. So you get them in a second straight road game against a team that's already tough to prepare for, and Wake is undefeated, which I don't think even Wake Forest thought they would be undefeated. But what it means is they may be a little bit more focused on winning these ACC games. And then there's this. Wouldn't it be the most ACC thing ever for Wake Forest, their only playoff chance, to get knocked out by Army? I can't get over how ACC this would be. So Black Knights not only cover 3, but they pull off the upset 27-24 and knock off Wake Forest. I've got $15 riding on Army.
Hilarious. And that would just be the funniest. That would be so Wake Forest.
It'd be so Wake Forest, so ACC. I mean, like, hey, Ben, this is what the college football gods have put together. If we're ignoring this at this point, we're only fooling ourselves.
I would love to see it happen. I like that pick. I also have a military team in my second pick, and that is the Midshipmen of Navy taking on Cincinnati.
That's Midshipmen with a P, by the way. A P is
that's what I said.
Midshipmen.
Yeah. Like a boat.
Exactly.
What do you think I said?
Nothing. Keep going.
All right. Well, sorry for my southern accent over here, but the Midshipmen, is that better, of Navy? They're going to get destroyed by a Cincinnati team who is already a 28-point favorite. Look here. These are the stats. So you said there's 130 teams in the country, right? Well, Navy is 121 scoring offense and 127 in yards per play.
Hey, that's better than 3 other teams in the country.
That is true, but they're taking on the number 6 scoring offense and number 7 in yards per play. Oh, and by the way, Cincinnati's defense is very good too. They're number 3 in scoring defense allowed and number 4 in yards per play allowed. Compare that to Navy at 109. For scoring defense allowed and 103 for yards per play allowed. Cincinnati will beat the pants off of this team. They're going to be back on their boats, probably getting hammered too. 45 to 10.
We have to start betting on alcohol sales at certain points in the country because of Ben. Like he's got the data here. All right, my third pick, we're going to go back to the ACC rather. Pitt is at home to Clemson. Pitt is -3. This is my lock of the week, baby. Pitt Woo! Is coming off a huge win against Virginia Tech, and everyone is doubting Clemson. So the public has inflated Pitt's stock because they crushed a Virginia Tech team that's likely going to fire Justin Fuente. Thank you. Meanwhile, Clemson's stock has fallen because of close losses to Georgia. They're pretty good, I think, and NC State, who's not bad. Pat Narduzzi is also notoriously an over-emotional coach. Very much a rah-rah guy. Great one week, awful the next. That translates to big drop-offs after big wins. Venable's defense is going to force a lot of turnovers, and I think because of everything else that adds up, Pitt and their offense could completely unravel. I don't think Clemson is actually a... I don't think they're a good team. I don't think they're a bad team. And I certainly don't think Pitt is good enough to be great every single week. So I'm going to take Clemson to win this one 20-17. Tigers bounce back.
I like it. Hey, that's a big pick there, too. That should be some good money. So I've got another team from the state of South Carolina in my 3. But it's the opposite team of you. It is the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Worst team in the SEC?
Texas A&M. Well, that is a good question. Head-to-head, they did beat Vandy 21-20.
With in a come Columbia, from behind, South Carolina.
Yes, at home with a come-from-behind touchdown late in the game in order to seal that sucker.
Hey, sometimes it can be difficult to beat Vanderbilt.
Said the 1AA team that plays them each year? What? No. The Vanderbilt's terrible.
Didn't they beat Georgia a few years ago?
Did they? That's embarrassing. I'm going to have to look that up.
I think they did.
Maybe. But not recently. Look, Vanderbilt's one of the worst teams in the country, and South Carolina had to pull out a miracle in order to beat them. On the other hand, you've got Texas A&M, who, coming off of beating the number one team in the nation, destroyed Missouri 21-0 in the first quarter, beat them 35-14 because they just took their foot off the gas. Texas A&M is a 21-point favorite in this game. I don't understand how Vegas thinks Texas A&M will only win by 21. This is at Texas A&M, and this is a South Carolina team that went toe-to-toe against Vanderbilt. Are you kidding? Look, if you look at the offense of South Carolina, they're 109 scoring offense versus a number 13 scoring defense at Texas A&M. I don't think South Carolina scores a touchdown in this game. Give me Texas A&M 35-3.
Crushing. Wow.
Woo. $25 on that.
October 15th of 2016, Georgia lost to Vanderbilt 17-16.
Oh,
I was with you that day.
That's right. That's Remember? Right.
Georgia Tech lost at home. Georgia lost at home. Georgia State lost at home on homecoming. Atlanta was a fun, fun place that night.
It was hilarious.
Talk about
Typical
getting
Georgia
hammered.
Sports. Yep, whole city.
All right, my fourth game. Notre Dame host USC. Notre Dame is a -6.5 point favorite. Honestly, this seems too easy. By the way, I've been pretty darn good on Notre Dame this year, except for that stupid Cincinnati game. USC has three wins: San Jose State, Washington State, and Colorado. Three bottom feeders. They have three losses, all by at least 14 points. What is Notre Dame's biggest struggle? Offense. Well, that won't exactly be a problem here. USC surrendered 45 to Oregon State and 42 to a Utah team playing with a backup quarterback. So I'm going to take Notre Dame, and I think they're going to win big 35-20 over the coachless USC Trojans. And I've got 35 bucks riding on that one.
Ooh, I like that. That's a big one. I'm gonna go.
Not as juicy as what I've got coming up here in just a second. It's about to blow your mind.
Well, I went hard early on, and I'm going into some games I only have a few dollars on late on. So 85 bucks have been laid on the table for me. I've got 15 left. I'm putting 10 on Oregon at UCLA. I really wanted to pick Oregon in this game, but then I looked at the numbers, and you know what? On paper, these teams are very similar. And that's probably because Coach Kelly, you know, coach at both locations. UCLA is much more like Oregon of old, and they're at home. They're also 5-2 against the spread, whereas Oregon is 1-5 against the spread this year.
Oh, wow.
I think it's going to be close, but with a 2.5 point favorite for UCLA, I see them winning by 4. I've got UCLA beating Oregon 35-31. And the rest of the Pac-12 can cry themselves asleep because there's no shot at a playoff for them.
Ben, this is one of the best picks you've ever made. I mean, I don't have this pick. I love this pick, though, because I think the public's going to want to bet Oregon because everybody thinks Chip Kelly is a bad coach. And then you look at the against the spread value. UCLA has been very, very good against the spread. Oregon has not been very good against the spread. And everybody looks at the numbers next to the team where teams are ranked. Oregon's ranked near the top 10. UCLA, I don't think, is ranked right now. So I think a lot of people look at that and they go, UCLA favor, they shouldn't win this game. Listen, Vegas knows something sometimes. I love that Ben went with this pick because I think it's the pick Vegas is giving you. And, you know, those casinos, if you ever go to Vegas, those casinos are pretty nice, and there's a reason for that. All right, my last pick, Washington State at home against BYU. BYU is a 4.5-point pick on the road. Listen, I love this pick. BYU is coming off two losses, and the public has completely lost interest. Washington State has won three straight, all against mediocre, crappy teams. That's great, but that should not be enough to elevate their stock. So I get two teams with stocks trending the opposite ways. And then there's this kicker. Washington State just fired their coach, Nick Relovich, because he can't get the vaccine. Don't know why. Maybe he's got some physical ailment and he can't. Maybe it's some religious
exemption.
Something like that.
That's what he applied for.
Sometimes when a team fires a coach, it can motivate them the following week. In this case, I think the opposite happens. Look, these kids just lost their coach because of a complete overreach by their administration. They are not going to be happy about that. It's going to be an impossible task telling these kids just a few days ago that their coach is getting fired. He didn't quit on them. He's really the one that took this team from complete crap a couple years ago to now they're actually finally starting to compete the past couple of weeks. And now they feel like, well, what have we been working towards? Why, you know, we've gone from what we were to what we are now. Now we lose our coach. It's going to be an impossible task getting this staff to unify this locker room. And it's going to be an even tougher task getting them motivated. Plus, they're going to play a BYU team that is motivated and in need of a win to bounce back. BYU wins 28-20 and covers on the road.
Like that. Like that. Great pick. Look, you haven't picked a single game against me, so you don't have a guaranteed loss this week. So I feel good about your chances, CJ. Good job.
Oh, good.
For me, my last game, I've got a whole $5 on this puppy.
Ooh.
But that's okay, because I'm interested to see this matchup.
Okay, so, hold on. Duke can't lose to the bye week.
Correct.
Okay.
They can't, which is why I don't have them here. Instead, yeah. I have the Oklahoma State Cowboys taking on Iowa State. So, Oklahoma State is the darling of the country right now. They just made it in the top 10. They just beat Texas in an upset game in Texas. And everyone's like, woohoo, Oklahoma State is back, baby. Fire off the guns. Cowboys rock. 86% of the country is on Oklahoma State covering a 7-point dog here. So, they think it's going to be close. Oklahoma State is 4-2 against the spread and 2-0 against the spread away. But when you look at this game on paper and you look at the statistics of the team, Iowa State is a much better team than Oklahoma State. And Iowa State, even though they have a couple weird losses, they are the number 34 scoring defense, number 20 in yards per play. Compare that to the offense. That's offense. Compare that to the offense of Oklahoma State. 83rd scoring offense, 102 yards per play. Flip that around to the defensive side. Iowa State's defense in total scoring is 12th. They are number 4 in passing yards allowed, and Oklahoma State likes to throw the ball around. They are also number 7 in yards per play allowed. So this Iowa State defense is great. Their offense is better. Iowa State doesn't just beat Oklahoma State at home. They beat them by 11. I've got Iowa State covering 35-24, and bye-bye OKST, no longer in the top 10 anymore.
That's one of those games where, and you may end up winning there, and I'm glad you only did $5. That's normally one of those games I would kind of stay away from. Because both teams are coming off wins. I don't know which team is actually trending better than the other. I feel like I like what Oklahoma State against Texas. I feel like I like what Iowa State did against Kansas State. But one of those teams is legit, and the other just happened to have a good week. I don't know who that is. So that's one of those games I will completely stay off of. But, you know, if you're going to put in your top in, you know, these five games, I'm glad you did it the one you had the least confidence in.
Yep. I had to pick it because I think it's such an interesting game, and I'm going to enjoy watching it. But,
well, there you go.
Yeah. I don't buy into Oklahoma State yet. They beat Iowa State. I'm all in, man. I'll be pulling out my own guns and shooting them in the air. Bang, bang. But we'll see.
It would be a big win. By the way, your Atlanta Braves are on 7-2 right now, by the way.
They'll come back. Maybe not this game.
Just saying, 3-1, 28-3. Something.
You know what? It's a different year for Georgia.
Tua knocked off Georgia in the championship. Just saying. These things
Tua
don't
wasn't from
end
LA.
Well.
He was from Hawaii.
What?
It's different. Tua wasn't from L.A. He was from Hawaii.
Well, not the Patriots weren't from L.A. They beat the Falcons. I'm saying that what's happening right now to Atlanta is the Atlanta meltdown. It's happening. Yeah. They were up 3-1. Dodgers
are
going to win.
Get to the World Series,
then
they can melt
down.
Well,
that is true.
Nah. Dodgers, you got to – I think they get to the World Series, they go up 3-1, and then you can have a meltdown. But not right now. Nah. They might not win tonight. That's fine. They'll win the next couple of days, and it'll be World Series time, baby. Get them a pennant.
Georgia – I don't think any team from the Atlanta area – is ever off the hook from a potential meltdown.
Absolutely not. That's Georgia sports.
It is. Yeah, to a T. So, or to a G. That doesn't make any sense.
To a G. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. This thing is completely gone out of control. Any closing thoughts? Are we going to have any other companies be acquired by Fox Sports before we get off here?
You know, ESPN... the worldwide leader in sports can acquire everyone. Mickey Mouse has the money. So just putting ourselves out there, ESPN. You want a really good podcast, you know where to look.
Ian may let me continue to do this podcast, but he's going to fire Ben for selling his company twice in an hour.
No, Ian makes out like a bandit, man. That's what happens. That's why you have these startups.
There you go. All right, guys, this is Moneyline. Go make some money. We'll talk to y'all next week.